I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. 100 years ago this December, for the first time ever, an expedition reached the South Pole. The team was led by Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen. A month later, British explorers arrived at the pole, only to discover that they had been bested. On their return journey, they froze to death. And a century later, people who work in Antarctica are preparing to commemorate that doomed British expedition led by Robert Scott. Reporter Eric Kneeler recently visited Antarctica and has the story.
Before leaving on his 800-mile trek to the South Pole, Captain Robert F. Scott and his men built a large wooden hut on the Antarctic coast. It sits at a rocky point called Cape Evans, and today it's become a time capsule of sorts.
Down here is the science area. You can see all the test tubes and scientific equipment and bottles, all different colors and the like.
Al Fastier is program manager for the Antarctic Heritage Trust, a New Zealand group fixing up the hut and restoring its contents. With his bushy red beard and calloused hands, Fastier looks like an explorer himself.
What you're looking around here, there's the galley area. This is where they did all the cooking.
Century-old boxes of cocoa, lentils, biscuits, cabbage, and 23 kinds of canned meat are stacked inside the kitchen pantry. There are also remains of penguins and seals that the men ate.
And then around the corner here is a very special place. That's where Scott's cubicle was, and that's where Scott slept.
The men slept in fur-lined sleeping bags, sometimes together to stay warm. The cramped quarters housed more than two dozen men during the two-year expedition. There's also a photographic studio and stables for the team's horses and dogs.
I mean, it's a pretty cool structure in here. It's very flimsy, but it's, you know, withstood 100 years.
The British explorers ultimately lost the race to the pole, but to many of the people who work in Antarctica, Scott and his men are heroes because of how they lost that race. David Washer runs New Zealand's Antarctic research station called Scott Base.
I think there's something about the way he did it. He did it with quite a lot of the Englishman's stiff upper lip style, and I think that really caught the imagination, certainly of the British people at that time, and I think that carries on in a strange way even today.
During his journey, Scott faced blinding blizzards. His men suffered frostbite. His dogs and snow ponies died. Still, the Englishman kept going. Scott recorded all of these obstacles in an eloquent diary that was published after his death. Washer says Scott's writings revealed his English pride, his determination in the face of great odds, and a willingness to accept his fate.
I think we're probably all aware that decisions are made at the time, and people end up having to live with them for good or bad. And in fact, the last words that, or some of the last words that Scott wrote, more or less said that he's done what he did, and this is the outcome, and my words are all that you'll have to go on, because he knew he was going to die.
Some modern historians have cast a different light on Scott. They've criticized his judgment and his preparation. Scott made a last-minute decision to take five men on the final push to the pole when he only had provisions for four. He used his men instead of dogs to pull the sleds. That made the trip slower and more exhausting. And while Scott prepared for the return trip by placing supplies of food and fuel to be picked up on the way back, he put a critical supply depot too far north. He and his men died 11 miles short of that same depot. Nigel Watson is executive director of New Zealand's Antarctic Heritage Trust and is planning commemorations of Scott's expedition.
There is no doubt that Scott made mistakes. You put in that, the mix that together with bad luck, together with fate or destiny, I don't know. He's certainly a character that has been subject to revisionist history over the last 100 years, and that will continue.
Although the Norwegian explorer, Amundsen, beat Scott to the pole, Watson says it's the Englishman who gets more recognition. Watson notes there are more than 50 biographies of Scott, as well as statues and institutes named after him. Watson says that's probably because Amundsen's expedition went smoothly. He was well prepared. Scott's story is one of tragedy.
Ultimately, what has captured people, particularly in the Western world, is that heroic failure.
And she closed the bar last night. She was working.
Today, those who work in Antarctica at the U.S. base, McMurdo, don't face the hardship Scott did. They've got central heating, movie nights, yoga classes, and two frozen yogurt machines in the cafeteria. Cheryl Parker is an American researcher at McMurdo. She says Scott may have made mistakes, but you have to respect what he did.
When you work here for 6 months at a time, sometimes you don't really think about what it was like 100 years ago. Can you imagine what this was like? It must have been so miserable and hard to be here. And why did they do it, you know?
They did it in part for science. And that, many say, is Scott's lasting legacy. He wasn't just an explorer. He pioneered research in Antarctica. His team collected penguin eggs for study back in England. They recorded climate data that scientists still use today to track global warming. In fact, Scott and his men were so committed to science, when their frozen bodies were found, so too were more than 30 pounds of fossils, rocks the men refused to leave behind, even when it looked like they might not make it home alive. For The World, I'm Eric Kneeler, McMurdo Station, Antarctica.
You can see pictures of the McMurdo Research Station and relics from Scott's expedition. Eric Kneeler has a slideshow at our website, which is theworld.org.